Well, just in case you didn't hear anything that Christina just said, let me interpret for you with the gift of interpretation of tongues. She was praying for the offering, and then after that, she was introducing me, Pastor Jake, and encouraging you to go to our app or to go to our website and get the notes so that you could download them, so that you can take notes, so that you can be sure that you remember the amazing things that you're going to hear from the practical word of God that you're about to receive. So I hope that was about it, and I hope you practiced your lip reading skills because you probably couldn't hear what went on. Sometimes in a live thing, you get some technical difficulties. So thanks for bearing with us. And we hope that you can hear me just fine now and that you're going to enjoy the Word of God, not just enjoy it, but you're going to connect to it, that it's going to change you, because the Word of God is meant to change us in a mighty and in a powerful way. And we want to be changed to be just like Jesus. And I hope you can say a big amen to that. Well, we're going to dig into the Word of God, but before we do that, I just wanted to let you know that if you're not a part of a mini church here with us at the Ark Christian Church, if you're on the island of Oahu and you want to connect with us and you want to be in a mini church, please contact our office. You can find our information on our website. You can find it on our Facebook page, send us a message or something like that, and we invite you to become a part of a mini church. Now, if you're viewing this from somewhere elsewhere in the United States or around the world, if you don't have a local church to connect to, first of all, I want to tell you that the local church is so incredibly important. We're not looking to garner and gather people from all over the world to just be followers of us on our Facebook page. We're looking for people to be followers of Jesus Christ. And Jesus said that the local church was important. It is the body of Jesus Christ, and we need to be connected. He sets people into the house. He puts people in the body as it pleases him. And we want to encourage you that if you're not a part of a local church in your area, first of all, find a good local church. Find one that preaches the Bible, not just current events, but they preach the Bible. That's what you're going to find here at the Ark, is that we preach the Bible. Despite current events, we are going to preach the Word of God. The second thing is that you want to find a place where you can be taught in the Word of God, encouraged in the Word of God, and not just be found, not just have something that's going to fluff your feathers, if you know what I mean. You want to grow into the very image of Jesus Christ, and it takes teaching, it takes preaching, it takes healing. You want to go to a church that believes in the power of the Holy Spirit of the living God. Otherwise, you're getting 2/3 of the Godhead, and in my book, if you got 2/3 of the questions right on an exam, you got exactly 66.6 repeating. That means it's a D plus. You don't want a D plus in Jesus. You want to have an A plus, right? I barely skated by with some D pluses, and it is not glorious. I'm going to tell you that right now. So I want to encourage you to get plugged into a local church. Now, in the process of finding a good local church, if you're having a hard time doing that, please reach out to us and we might have some connections in your area. If we don't have connections in your area to send you to a good local church, we want to encourage you to stick around for a little while and maybe go to a number of churches in your area and find a church that fits the criteria that the Bible says makes a good church. I hate to say this, but not every church is a good church. You want to look for the criteria that Jesus says creates a good church, not just a popular church, a good church. Finally, if you're around the world and maybe you just are, maybe, I don't know, you're in Nome, Alaska or something like that, and there's no churches around you, no good churches around you, if you would like to start a mini church in your home, and we're not advocating church in the home over the local church, we believe that they're both very important. But it was the early church model. And in this time of COVID-19 and physical distancing and all of that, we are having mini churches in our church. We're breaking down into smaller groups of 10 or so individuals that are coming together in people's homes. If you would like to invite some people into your home to do a mini church, we can give you the guidelines on how to do that, how we do it at the Ark Christian Church, and you can start a mini church right where you're at and bless people in your family, in your community, by setting up a church where people can come together and you'll know that they'll get the Word of God. The Ark Christian Church is a great place to be safe as the Word of God is being preached. With that being said, I want to just thank you so much for joining us today. Those of you that are in the very room with us here, it's so exciting to see you. Man, you guys are so good looking. So good looking. I'm glad I get to look at good looking people. So we're going to preach the word of God. I hope that you're ready. Get those notes ready. Take some old fashioned notes. Let your fingers do the walk in. Buckle your Holy Ghost seatbelt because we're about to go into a wild ride through the word of God. If you'd like a title for your message today, it is No Bad Days. No Bad Days. Amen. You know, when was the last time that you thought to yourself, this is a great day? Maybe it's today. I don't know. Just because you're with us, it is a pretty great day, isn't it? Maybe it was the last time that you looked outside and it was like, oh my goodness, the weather is incredible. This is a great day. When was the last time, though, that you had one of them days that everybody else would consider a bad day, but you were like, this is a great day? And you really meant it. Well, I want to talk to you today about a scripture that we don't actually believe. What? Yeah, I want to talk to you about a scripture that you don't believe, a scripture that I don't believe. It's not even a weird scripture. It's not an abnormal scripture. It's not some obscure scripture that's surrounded by controversy or anything. But we just simply don't believe it, and we simply don't live it. I know we don't believe it because we don't live it. See, if you believe something, you'll live something. Yes. And when we believe it, it'll change our world. Are you ready? Here's the scripture. You ready?
Yes.
Here it is. Psalm chapter 118, verse 24. And some of you are like, no, I know that scripture. Yeah, you know it, but you don't believe it. That's why I'm going to preach it to you today, because we need to believe this scripture. It says this: this is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Hey, would you say this verse again with me? Ready? Here we go. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day that the Lord has made. See, we don't believe this scripture. I'm telling you, we're going to go through this sermon for a little while, and you're going to find out, oh, that's right, I don't believe that scripture. We don't believe it because we don't live it. See, we tend to relate to this scripture based on how we perceive the kind of day that we're having. Like, this is a terrible day. This day sucks. I mean, I remember the day that it was my freshman year in college, and I remember that for some strange reason, I took both calculus and microbiology in the same semester. And then I found out at the end of the semester that I had a calculus final starting at 7:30 in the morning. I had a half an hour break, and then I had a microbiology final directly following that. That day, I felt like was not a good day. Now, I performed well, but I did not feel like that day was a good day. In fact, by the end of my microbiology test, my brain felt like scrambled eggs. It was so bad. I didn't even know my own name by the end of that. And I was supposed to come up with incredible things for the next day of finals. I don't know if you've had days that scrambled your brain. Probably you have. But you know what? We tend to classify our days based on how we perceive what kind of a day it was. You know, days that are filled with victory seem to be easy to agree with the fact that this is a day that the Lord has made. You know, in fact, in Psalm 118, just a little bit before that verse that I quoted to you earlier, it says this in Psalm 118, verse 15, in the Holman Christian Standard Version of the Bible. It says this: there are shouts of joy and victory in the tents of the righteous. The Lord's right hand performs valiantly. So, you know, when the Lord's hand performs valiantly and you see God doing big things and everything, and you just got breakthrough on every side, you're like shouts of joy and victory in the house. Woo, I love Jesus and all this stuff. And it's easy when it's like that. But, you know, if we actually believed this scripture and lived this scripture, that this is the day that the Lord has made on every day, we would have a totally different approach and a different appreciation for every single day. You know, we often feel like if we go through a, you know, hard day or whatever, that God must have somehow removed his favor from us, or that God is against us. And I've heard so many people say things like, God, Why do you hate me so much? God, why don't you like me? What's wrong with me? Why don't you love me, God? Because somehow we equate that God loves us by him doing what we want him to do. Parents, sometimes we feel like that with our kids, right? It's like our kids are like, you don't love me because you don't let me eat whatever I want to. No. You got this thing all twisted up. I love you. That's why I don't let you eat whatever you want to. Because you need some fiber, child. Because man shall not live on Oreo cookies alone, kid. You know what I mean? Like, I love you, but I also want you to keep all your teeth. Yes. If you love me, Mom, you wouldn't make me shower every day. No, I love you, and I love the other people around you, too. So therefore, I shall make you shower. You know what I mean? It's important that we don't get it messed up, that just because there's something that we don't like that God is doing, that it doesn't mean he doesn't love us. The Bible says that in him is light and there is no darkness at all. The Bible says that while we were enemies with God, that he loved us and that he gave himself for us. How much more could God give than everything? And the answer to that is nothing. He gave everything. The Bible says he will withhold no good thing from us. So you cannot in any way tell me that God doesn't love you. God loves you, even on the hard days. Yes. Romans chapter 8, verse 31 says this, "What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, then who can be against us?" Here's the thing is, God is for you. Say it with me. God is for me. You know, even on your bad days, God is for you. When I'm going through rough stuff, God is for me. If God is for me, then who can be against me? So then what am I going to say? Well, hopefully you say Psalm 118 and you say, "This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad." See, I told you don't believe this scripture because you don't say that when it's a bad day, when it's a hard day. And I should put quotes around those things because is there really anything that is that? We'll find that out in just a moment. Here's the thing is, I'm doing the best that I can to live from the belief that God has tailor-made this day for me. Amen. I don't know if you've ever had a tailor-made piece of clothing. I've learned now, and I'm going to give away my deepest, darkest secrets right now. I've learned that a tailor-made shirt fits so much better than one that you buy off the shelf. And now you're thinking, oh, Pastor Jake must get paid the big bucks. No, I'm what we in Hawaii call chang or pake. And it's not a racist thing. It's just a way of living. It is a frugal mindset. See, I could have a tailor-made shirt made for me, you know, that's what, $70, $150, whatever, and it's tailor-made for me. Or I could go to Ross and I could buy a $10 shirt and then go and take it to get it tailored to fit me perfectly for another $10. Now I have a tailor-made shirt for $20 and I've saved a whole bunch of money. See, it's all about how you do it. You can go to Savers. My wife is in the audience saying, "Savers, Savers." You know, that's like your Goodwill or whatever, you know, a thrift store. And you can go and you can find a shirt that doesn't fit quite right, but then you can get it tailored and it feels just right. Do you know that God is tailor making every day for you? And it feels so much better when it's tailor made. It is tailor made for you. Today, this day is tailor made for you in your life. I hope that you start to believe this. I'm going to keep preaching it until you do. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 8 in the New King James Version of the Bible says this, "Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows," listen now, "the things you have need of before you ask him." Now, I want to make a distinction between want and need because so many people get those things mixed up. I sat down last night about to go to bed and I see my wife staring outside of our bedroom door. Now, you don't know what's outside of our bedroom door, but I do. What's outside of our bedroom door is a wall of shoes. It is a wall of shoes. And she was just standing there looking out our door and there's just a wall there. And I said, "Sweetheart, what are you looking at?" And she said, "I'm looking at shoes." Well, see, if you look out the door and you see all them shoes, see, if my wife ever tells me I need a new pair of shoes, I know she's lying. She don't need another pair of shoes. She might want another pair of shoes, but need and want. See, if we feel like we want something bad enough, we try to put it over into the category of need. But that doesn't necessitate what, or it doesn't define what need is. God knows what we have need of. You know the day that you had that you hated, you needed that day. You know the thing that you went through that was uncomfortable, that conversation that you had, that argument that maybe sprung up out of nowhere and it came at you and it kind of attacked you, accosted you, it assaulted you. You needed that. You needed that day. Why? I don't know, but you needed it because God knows the things that you have need of before you ever ask him. And by the way, you probably never would ask him for that day, would you? I wouldn't ask him for that day. Lord, humble me. Hey, look, he will. If you didn't ask him for that day, you still needed that day, and that's why that day came. You know, this verse, see, a lot of times we put this verse into the category of the things that we have need of, like finances, like money, things. But, you know, we have need of character and patience and kindness and fruit and boldness in our life. We need those things. See, we don't need more things. We need to be a better person. We don't need more things. We need more fruit in our life. We don't need more stuff. We don't need more money. Maybe you do need more money. If you need more money, by the way, God will get that to you if you follow his principles and his commandments. God gives bread to the eater. He gives seed to the sower. God knows what you have need of. But you know, we have needs that we don't even know of. But God knows we have needs, and he brings those things to pass before we ever ask him. Amen. You know, sometimes we have hard days, but we need those days. I want to give you a few hard day types, I guess you will, if you will, that we need in our lives. You guys ready? Yeah. Here we go. See, and remember, this is the day that the Lord has made. You thought that there are bad days, but there are no bad days. Listen, these are hard days that come, but we need these days because they're tailor-made for us. Here's the first type, days of discipline. See, I say discipline and you're like, ooh, ooh, ooh. Yes. If any of you had discipline in your life, you're like, you know, I mean, if you had discipline, you know that discipline, you know this verse because of experience. It's called experiential knowledge. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 11 in the amplified version of the Bible, because I figured it might as well be amplified. You need to know this. It says this, for the time being, no discipline. Read my lips. No discipline. None of it. No matter what way it comes, whether it's corporal discipline, whether it's emotional discipline, whether it's character discipline, whether it's physical training discipline, no discipline brings joy. It just doesn't. So don't look for joy in it. It brings discipline. No discipline brings joy, but seems grievous and painful. But afterwards, it yields. You got to highlight that in your Bible. If you haven't gotten this in the last number of weeks that I've been preaching this verse, you got to get this. It doesn't feel good for the moment, but it yields. Yes. Afterwards, by the way, not in the middle of it, afterwards, it yields. So you got to get through it. You got to get all the way through it. You got to get all the way through it. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, right? Yes. Afterwards, it yields a peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. So look, you can be trained by discipline. What does it yield? A harvest of fruit, which consists in righteousness, in conformity to God's will and purpose. Man, we got to conform to that will, don't we? Thought and action resulting, listen, in right living and right standing with God. Man, if we would just start to see that we need right living, we need right standing with God. By the way, the Bible says that the righteous are as bold as a lion. The Bible says that when we have boldness, we can come boldly to the throne of grace to find mercy and to get help in time of need. You need to live right, and I need to live right so that we can enter boldly to the throne of grace, because sometimes we need mercy and we need help in time of need. So listen to this. On days when we're wrong and we need to be confronted with necessary change and our character shortcomings, remember now what I preached just a couple of weeks ago about pearls and all of that stuff. We've got a character parasite, and we need to find out how to pop out a pearl instead of just being consumed by the character parasite. On those days, when we're confronted with those things, we need to grab onto that and change our character shortcomings. By the way, if you're going to attend this church, I am going to confront character shortcomings because the Bible says to do it. I'm going to love you all the way through it because you know what? I got character shortcomings. I don't have any stones to throw. If you don't think I have character shortcomings, talk to my family. Talk to the people that know me best, and they will tell you he's got character shortcomings. But you know what? I'm going to confront those things lovingly and the same way that Jesus said, hey, look, Jesus called one of his disciples Satan. I'm not going to call you Satan, but I will confront your character shortcoming if it's holding you back. Why? Not because I hate you, because I love you. I think we got to get past that, people. We got to get past thinking that when somebody gives us some insight into a character shortcoming, it's because they hate us. That when they disagree with us, they hate us. No. Maybe they love you enough to disagree with you. I'm not going to agree with somebody when they are blatantly wrong, especially when the facts are the facts. But that doesn't mean I hate you. It just means I want to help you and I want to be a blessing in your life. You know, in the middle of the day of discipline, when things are unenjoyable, I want to ask you this question. Can we say, this is the day that the Lord has made? I will. That's a decision of your will. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Can you say that? Can you say that in the middle of that rough day? By the way, just so that you have no questions, God made that day, and it's meant to bless you with harvest. Get that into your heart today. Whatever that day is, the one that you're tempted to loathe and to hate and to run from and to avoid and to never even want to, like you know that day is coming and you want to avoid that day, how about if you understand that God made that day and he made it to bless you and to cause you to have a harvest? Could you look at that day a little bit differently? In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 6 is about to blow your mind. In the English Standard Version of the Bible, it says this, Hebrews 12, 6. For the Lord disciplines the one he loves. What? You mean when you love someone, you don't have to just let them do whatever they want to do? No, absolutely not. I love my kids, so I'm not going to let them run into the road when there's traffic going on. I love them, so I will withhold them from the ability to run into that street. Why? Because I love them. God disciplines the one he loves. Have you ever been disciplined by God? You've been under restriction by God? No, you can't talk to that person. No, you can't go out with them. No, you got to cut that thing out of your life. You got to shut that thing down. You're grounded, mister. Have you ever been disciplined by God and then you're like, you don't love me? Can you tell that I've got teenagers? Can you tell that I've got kids? Can you tell that I've been a youth pastor for 16 years? You see, discipline doesn't equate to unlove. In fact, it's the opposite of that. Discipline is love. God loves us, so he disciplines us. Listen, for the Lord disciplines the one he loves and chastises every son whom he receives. Wait a minute. You want God? I want God to receive me, so he's going to chastise me? Yep. That's exactly how it works. You want to be part of God's inner circle? Get ready for him adjusting you, because you can't stay the same and be in God's inner circle. You cannot be the old you and be in his presence. It's not possible. God will discipline us. God will chastise us because he loves us and he accepts us. Man, we have to change our perspective, don't we? Here's the second kind of a day that sometimes we want to avoid, but we got to learn that this is the day that God has made. Days of trouble. Look, have you ever been in a day when it just seems like trouble is all around you? It's just all around you. It's like, man, there's just trouble around every corner. Maybe you weren't even with stupid people doing stupid things at stupid times to win stupid prizes. Maybe you weren't doing that, but all of a sudden trouble just came upon you. Have you ever been in a situation like that? I have. It just pops up because other people do stupid things, you know? But can you believe that God made that day? That day that's filled with trouble? The one that you were like, man, I can't wait for this day to be over. Listen to that phrase. This is the day that the Lord has made. And you're like, I can't wait for this day to be over. Yeah. Wait a minute. This is a day that the Lord has made. How about if I take every opportunity in this day and grab a hold of it? Oh, I'm flipping you out, aren't I? I'm tilt. Like, some of you are over here on tilt. Like, you're going to have to listen to this message again because, like, you're just, like, out already. Can you believe that God made that day? Psalm chapter 50, verse 15. Listen to this verse. I love it. It says this, call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me. How about this for perspective? Maybe God made that day of trouble, so that you could know him as your deliverer. So that you could authoritatively speak to someone around you and say, no, listen. God delivers. No, really, for real. God delivered me out of this mess. I didn't even do anything to deserve it, and all these things started coming up, and God delivered me. And so you start to glorify him. See, this scripture is real. God wants us to call upon him in the day of trouble, and he will deliver us. Man, what an awesome day that'll be, right? To see God deliver you. I think I've shared it before that someone once asked the congregation, they said, how many of you would like to be rescued from a sinking, burning ship in the middle of the ocean by angels? And everybody's like, yeah, me, I want to be rescued. And then he's like, all you have to do is be in a burning, sinking ship in the middle of the ocean. See, we want the angels and all of that stuff, but we don't want the burning, sinking ship in the middle of the ocean. But to experience God as your deliverer, you need to have to be delivered from something. God made that day so you could know him as your deliverer. Here's another kind of a day that sometimes comes and we don't feel like we like it so much, but we're going to change our perspective, right? How about this? A day of fear and adversaries. A day of fear and adversaries. You know, what about days when you have seemed to acquired adversaries without even trying? Some of you have heard this story before, and I used to work at this place that will remain unnamed for now, and I was working at this place, and this guy was just, he was just so mean to me. I mean, he would be nice to me to my face, but then I heard all these rumors and all these things that he was saying, and like, they were, number one, they were not true. Number two, I had no idea what I had done to this person and everything. And then one day, I just used to fast and pray, and I'd pray for this guy and all that. And one day, just in the middle of the day, out of nowhere, on a slow day, he comes up to me and he said, you know, Jake, I don't know why, but just from the moment I met you, I didn't like you. And I just started saying all kinds of things about you, things that were not true and things that were, you know, I was telling people rumors about you that weren't even true and everything. Will you please forgive me? I mean, I had an adversary and I didn't even try. I didn't even do anything. I mean, like, at least let me punch you in the face or something so that I can earn your adversary status. But, like, I didn't even do anything, and he wants to be my adversary. Have you ever had that when someone just volunteers to be your enemy for no reason? What about when situations are overwhelming and fearful? Like, you're in a storm, and you're not sure that you're going to make it through. Maybe you're living in a day like this right now. Maybe everything that's going on around us with this whole pandemic or whatever people want to call it, whatever. Maybe the whole situation is just overwhelming. It's just like you don't even know. You're barely functioning. You're just limping around on two cylinders when you should have eight. You know, I mean, you're just limping along. Maybe you're living in days like this right now. I'm talking to you. because you shouldn't be overwhelmed. This is the day that the Lord has made, right? I want to put you at rest. I know what I'm talking about. Over the last number of years, I've gone through more of these days than I would care to admit. I'm not even going to tell you some of the thoughts that went through my mind. Thank God some of the things that were in my mind did not come out of my mouth, because they were not godly thoughts and they were not godly feelings. But I knew better than to let it out of my mouth. That is a hint for some of you out there. Some of you, your worst enemy is located 1 inch beneath your nose. And if you would quit flapping them gums, you would have a better life, because life and death is in the power of your tongue. Just because you thought it doesn't mean that you gotta let it come out your mouth. By the way, sometimes the devil puts thoughts in your mind. So don't give him glory by repeating what he's putting in your mind. Sometimes it ain't even you, and you gotta learn that that's not you that's thinking about those things. Just shh. And if you need some more, I have a nice big bag of shh right here waiting for you. You know, some of us, the best thing that we can do to our friends is not listen, but we can just and it's not because you don't care, but because what they're doing with their mouth is creating a future that is causing them to have more pain in the future than what they need to have. If we would help people to just this is what you're doing. This is what you should be doing. Sometimes we would do so much better if we would help our friends, not because we don't care what they have to say, but because it's not helping them. You're just, you know what they say, right? If you're in the hole, stop digging. It's important that we learn that our tongue is a powerful tool. It'll turn and steer the direction of our life. You know, I didn't say a lot of things out of my mouth because there were some things that I just should never be said. But I went through these things. I had adversaries. I didn't always handle them correctly, by the way. Sometimes I ran from those days. But I certainly didn't think that those days were days that the Lord had for me. I was like, the devil made this day. I don't know what his problem is, but he needs to back off because I hate the devil. And then all of a sudden, God's like, No, that was me. Yeah, I made that day. Because you know that character parasite that you got right? Yeah, right there. I'm going to get that one. Because I love you, boy. I love you, child. I love you. So I'm going to discipline you. And this is the day that the Lord has made. Right? I didn't feel like it, but it was. Have you ever felt like something wasn't, but it was? You know, that's the day that we've got to dig into. When we have adversaries, I want to tell you this, my friend, we have to allow God to fight for us. Yes. Sometimes we're just like, no, I can fight it myself. I can do it myself. But God wants to fight for you. Why would you fight for yourself if you could have God fight for you? Amen. He can fight so much better than you. In fact, he can fight dirtier than you. I mean, he can make people have hemorrhoids. It's in the Bible. He can take the wheels and the lug nuts off of chariots while they're sleeping. It's in the Bible. God can burn down cities. It's in the Bible. God can make people drop dead. It's in the Bible. I mean, if you would start to get a hold of all the awesome things that God can do, you're just like, yeah, God, you go fight that one for me. I'm just going to sit right here. I'm going to watch you work. God knows how to fight. Yeah, and if we would let him, but see, sometimes we're like, no, get back, God. I got this. You know, and you're like, turn to the old man. Look, even your old man doesn't know how to fight as good as God does. We need to let God fight for us. Deuteronomy chapter 3, verse 22, it says this, you must not, listen to that, you must not, that's a command, it's not a suggestion, you must not fear them. For the Lord your God himself fights for you. Look, if God's fighting for you, why are you scared? God's going to win. He will win. And you just got to let him do it his way. You know, God has repeatedly shown me just over and over and over and over again that he can bring me through those days, and that my character by the way, has been shaped in so many ways that it would not have been shaped without those days. Those days were tools in the hand of the Lord. Because some of those days I look back on and I was like, yeah, that was the day that the Lord made. I didn't like that day very much. But it was the day that the Lord has made. Man, I wish I had yielded to it. I wish I had leaned into it instead of trying to run from it. I wish I didn't go to sleep so early that night so that God could have just continued to work in that way on me. You know, God made those days of adversaries and enemies for my benefit. Can you get that in your heart? Yeah. That God made that day for your benefit? Listen, if we are in the will of God, and we allow God, or we allow Him to, God will fight for us. You know, if you choose to fight for yourself, God will take a back seat and He'll just be like, go ahead, give it a shot. Yep. But if we would just let God fight for us, as long as we're in His will. Now, if you're outside of God's will, you're on your own, buddy. That's like having an umbrella and standing out here and being like, I can't believe this stupid umbrella. It won't even keep me dry. But it would if you'd get under the umbrella. See, that's the will of God right there. When you're under the will of God and you allow Him to groom you and shape you and mold you, and you're just like, whatever you want, God, I'm just going to yield to your will, then God is going to fight for you and that umbrella will keep you dry. Yep. And if you're getting wet, it's because God wants you to get wet even under the umbrella. I mean, He'll make the wind and the rain just go whoop right on you underneath the umbrella. But you're staying under the will of God. Let Him fight for you. Don't fight for yourself. Man, that is a word for somebody today. Stop fighting for yourself. Between you and your spouse, don't fight to be right. Let God fight for you. If your spouse needs to change, let God change them. You know, because then that way they're not going to be bitter at you. Like, you just changed me. You couldn't stand me, so you had to change me. No, no, no. God changed you. Amen. Let God have your spouse. Give it to Him. Amen? Amen? You guys ready? This is the last one I'm going to give you today. How about a day that's actually an ending? Not the ending, but an ending. Days that are an ending. You know, the day that innocent Jesus was beaten, where He was forsaken by God, and then ultimately He died. That day, that innocent Jesus day, where all of those things that were not right in so many ways happened to Him, that day, God made that day too. And it was an ending for Him. It was the end of His earthly ministry. It was the end of Him walking with His disciples. It was the end for Mary having that earthly son. It was the end of so many things in Jesus's life and ministry. But God made that day too. Sometimes we think that God just makes things live and live and live and live and live. Look, He put the dinosaurs out of their misery. So what makes you think that whatever it is that's going on in our lives, that God is not going to sort those things out? In fact, the Bible says every branch that doesn't provide and produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. I would beg to argue with you that that is an end of that branch. It might be dust and ashes, like Pastor preached last week, that it is what's left after the burning. If God wants to reassemble and reconstitute that branch and turn it into something like He did with Aaron's staff that got placed into the Ark of the Covenant, a dead almond stick that God brought back to life, then that's His business. But between now and then, there might be an end to some things. Those are God days too. I believe that Jesus had the right perspective of that particular day, that day where He died and was beaten and all that stuff. I think Jesus had the right perspective of that day. Here's what His perspective was. In Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2, it says this: looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Look, this was the perspective that Jesus had. This too will pass. This day, God brought it so that He could take me into the new thing that I'm enduring for. God, Jesus saw that his earthly ministry was coming to an end because God wanted to not end his life and everything, but God wanted to close that chapter and bring something even greater to Jesus. Salvation, by the way, was made available on that day. Jesus was in one place at one time, at all times, during his 32 and a half years or whatever it was of earthly life and ministry on this planet. And in a moment, he went from one place at one time to everywhere in everyone that would receive him as their Lord and Savior. He went from one man to multiplying himself in you and me and every believer around the planet all at once. Jesus saw that an end was necessary for a new beginning to take place. And he didn't despise the shame. By the way, if you didn't know this, Jesus could have taken himself off of that cross at any time. But he didn't. You know why? I believe that Jesus believed, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. For the joy that was set before him, he endured that cross. Jesus knew that this was the day that the Lord has made, and he saw the results of that day by faith. My friends, you may not be able to see it with your eyes, but you can see it with the eyes of faith. Faith sees so much better. Faith sees so much farther. Faith sees the way that God sees, which is a perspective of seeing the end and the beginning all at the same time. Faith can see better. So my friend, I want to challenge you to see by the eyes of faith. And Jesus knew that that was the day that the Lord has made, and he saw it because of faith. You know, Mark chapter 15, verse 39, and I don't read out of this version very often. I checked it out to make sure it was okay, but I just love the way that it was said in this particular translation of the Bible. Mark 15, verse 39, in the New International Version of the Bible says this, "And when the centurion," he was one of the guys that was around and was on the same team that crucified Jesus, by the way, the Romans. "When the centurion who stood there in front of Jesus saw how he died, he said, 'Surely this man was the Son of God.'" Listen, this was a man on the same team of the people that just finished crucifying Jesus to the point of death, beating him and ruining his earthly life. And he saw how he died. He must have died in a spectacular way, in a supernatural way, in a God-reverencing and honoring kind of a way. And when he died, that man looked at the way he died, how he died, and he said, "Surely this man was the Son of God." Amen. Let me ask you this. In your death, in the way that things die in your life, can people look at the way that you handle that and say, "Surely this is a child of God"? No one else would handle it that way. Everyone else would be flipping out. But they handled it like a son of God, like a daughter of God. And they knew what was coming before them by faith. Again, I've been saying it throughout the day, that perspective will change everything. Let me give you one piece of perspective and I'm going to land this plane. This perspective is so important. In Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8, in the New King James Version of the Bible, it says this, "Finally, brethren," this is like the exclamation point. This is like the period at the end of this sentence. There's nothing further to be said. This is the amen right here. "Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate." That means think about it. Regurgitate it over and over again in your thoughts and bring it back up again to meditate on it and swallow it back down again and just think about it until you get every nugget out of it. That's the concept of meditation. Biblical meditation, anyway. Meditate on these things. So what do I do about that particular verse? This is the end of it all, right here. This is the period, the exclamation point. This is the finale, right here. "Whatsoever things are true and good and honest and praiseworthy, if there's any virtue, if there's any praise, think on these things." Here's what you're going to think about. This is the day that the Lord has made for you. In other words, when you hit that day of adversaries and enemies, when you hit that day of trouble, when you hit that day of fear, when you hit that day of an end, that your automatic response is to click into this mode. This is the day that the Lord has made for me. He tailor-made this day for me. It doesn't feel good, but he made it for me because I needed this day. Thank you, Jesus, for this day, because you made it for me. I'm going to rejoice and I'm going to be glad in it. There is something coming to bless me.
Amen.
See, you got to kick over into that way of thinking. How do you do it? You don't do it by accident. You don't do it every once in a while. It has to become your habit, your habitual lifestyle, your new style and your new way of thinking. And here's how you do it. Anytime you are tempted and you feel like, man, this is a bad day, stop. Hammer time. I'm kidding. No. Stop. Back it up a little bit and don't say it's a bad day. Instead, say, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Man, this day really is tough. What do you think? I think this is the day that the Lord has made. So I'm going to rejoice and I'm going to be glad in it. When somebody's like, man, this day sucks. No, you know what? This is a great day. This is the day that the Lord has made for me. This is my day. It's tailor-made for me from heaven. I want to challenge you to change your perspective. I want to give you one last thing. As we end today, just one thing to hold on to. Remember this. God doesn't make any bad days. In fact, the Bible says it in one place real clearly. You do all things well. You know what that means? No bad days. God doesn't make any bad days. So if there are any bad days in our perspective, it's our perspective, not the day. God doesn't make any bad days, whether pleasant or not, easy or difficult, seemingly victorious or full of defeat. This is the day that the Lord has made. Will you say it with me as we end today? This is the day that the Lord has made.
This is the day that the Lord has
made. Absolutely. This is that day. Every day is the day that the Lord has made. And I challenge you to receive it as such. Now, today you may be joining us and maybe you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ. This passage of scripture, this one, that this day is the day that the Lord has made, may not so much pertain to your life right now, but it can. It can become the day that God has tailor-made for you every day for the rest of your life. Like Pastor Stewart said last week, I think he maybe changed up the wording a little bit. He meant to say, this is the worst day of the rest of your life. Because every day with Jesus is going to get better than today. This day, today, can be the worst day of the rest of your life. But you know what? Because every day can be the day that Jesus has tailor-made specifically for you. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior in the last few moments that we have together here today, I want to extend an invitation for you to meet my Lord and Savior, the one who authors and finishes my days, the one who tailor makes it for my good, the one who makes all things work together, good, bad, ugly, or indifferent, for my good. I want to introduce you to that amazing man. His name is Jesus, but he's not just a man. He is God of all creation. And if you would receive him into your heart and into your life as your Lord and as your Savior, you can participate in this life and in the eternity to come, where everything is God-ordained from start to finish, from top to bottom, and everything in between. How do you become a child of God? It's actually very simple. The Bible says you need to do two things. The first thing is you need to believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead. That day I was talking about where Jesus was crucified and died, spilled his blood and all of that stuff, where God forsook him because he took all of the sins of the world upon him. That day was the start of salvation for us. And if you believe that God not only buried him, but raised him from the dead on the third day, that's the first thing that you've got to do. The second thing is that you need to confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord. That means that he is the boss, the controller, the one who is in supreme control of your life. He authors it, he finishes it, and your response is, yes, sir, I'll do those things. Or yes, ma'am, whatever your concept is. God probably doesn't have a gender, but Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Whatever. God, I'm going to do what you want me to do. Yeah. When you fall under the lordship of Jesus, he'll take you to your expected end. Yeah. I want to tell you today that if you can do those two things, you can be born again, the Bible calls it. That means that you become part of God's family, taken out of the family of the devil and sin and death and into the kingdom of God with righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. And your destination will be heaven, and the angels will be your helpers. The Holy Spirit will be your guide. The Word of God will speak to you, and it'll challenge you and help to direct your life. If you want to do that today, and you've never done that before, or maybe you've just walked away from God and you took back lordship of your life, but you've got to give lordship back to him today, today's that day to do it, and I'm here to help you to do it. All you need to do is believe it in your heart and confess it with your mouth. I'm going to pray a prayer, and I invite you to repeat after me. It's not the words that save you. It's meaning it in your heart to God that saves you. God judges the inward appearance, and God judges the heart, not the outward appearance. If you want to, I encourage you that every one of us would pray with me today, and that some of you would get gloriously born again into the kingdom of God. If you're ready to give your heart to God and to become part of his family, let's do it right now. Let's go. You ready? I'm going to pray. You repeat after me and just mean it in your heart to the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus. And I believe in my heart that you raised Jesus from the dead. That he took my sins and raised to life again so that I could have a pure life. And a perfect life. I believe that Jesus is alive. And I confess with my mouth that Jesus is the Lord of my life. I am not the boss. I give control to Jesus. I'll do what he wants me to do. I'll go where he wants me to go. And I'll be what he wants me to be. I give control of my life to him. And because of these things, I know that I am now saved. I am part of God's family. My destination is heaven. And heaven is my home. Because of these things, I know that I am now saved. And I am a child of God. Thank you for saving me. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, if you prayed that prayer with us today for the first time, or maybe you were coming back home to give Jesus lordship of your life again, we ask you if you would just comment into us, if you would message, call us, whatever, send us an email. I mean, handwrite a letter for heaven's sake, whatever it is. But let us know that you received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and that you're born again into the kingdom of God. The Bible says that all of heaven rejoices when even one person comes to the saving knowledge of Jesus. And we want to rejoice with heaven over you coming into the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. We love you. We want to send you a gift and a Bible and tell you how to take your next step in Jesus. We invite you to join us on a Sunday morning. Just contact our office. Join us again online next week, Sunday at 10 a.m. Hawaii Standard Time, or on Wednesday night for prayer. Don't miss prayer, man. God is there on Wednesday nights at 6:30 to 7 p.m., followed by communion on Facebook Live and on Zoom. Join us on Hawaii Standard Time to pray with us and to seek heaven. We hope to see you there. We love you. We bless you. In Jesus' name, have an amazing rest of your Sunday.